He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, bright and early August 11th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner on staff here at Gunderson Capital. We have kind of a lukewarm start to the market here so far today. We've got the Dow up 16, and it's at 44,191 right now. The S&P 500 is at or near an all-time high. It's up 5 points to 6,394. The NASDAQ's up 9 right now to 21,459 and hitting a new all-time high once again. The small caps are up 6 points. That's a quarter of a percent. They're doing a little better than the rest of the equities indexes right now. And we've got gold down today. A little confusion over those Trump tariff plans on gold. And gold is down 2.1% to 3,416. But don't forget, it's up 25-30%, something like that so far this year. Silver's down 1.4%. Crude oil's up 0.5%. And Bitcoin having a whale of a day here. Bitcoin is up 1,642, and Bitcoin is soaring to 120,138. Not an all-time high, but very close to it. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And Barry, we're in Atlanta now, so say hi to Atlanta. We've been in Atlanta before.
Back. It's been a it's kind of how things go full circle, right, Bill?
We had a really nice following in Atlanta, and the station got sold out from under us. I should have bought the station, I guess, Barry. And we're back on The Answer there in Atlanta. So glad to be back. I can't wait to get back to Atlanta. You know, that's just like a five-hour drive, hop, skip, and a jump here from Mount Pleasant to South Carolina. And we used to stay out there at the perimeter and do a workshop and meet with folks. And we still have a large legacy audience and following in Atlanta, and a lot of clients in the Atlanta area, which obviously is the home to many, many corporations that are headquartered there in Atlanta, like Coca-Cola and Home Depot and others. So that will be exciting. And just like going to Detroit and the Bloomfield Hills area and seeing all the corporations that are there, mostly automotive related, obviously. It's fun to go to Atlanta. Then, of course, next month we'll be in the San Jose area. Not a lot of automotive there other than Tesla and the Silicon Valley, baby. I mean, you're going to see our portfolio as we drive down the street, Barry.
Right. That'll be the real boots on the ground.
Now, it's not that I'm enamored with tech or I'm a tech-only investor. That just happens to be where the market is right now, where the growth is right now. And, you know, my Best Stocks Now app the system, the process that I've put in place, it's relative. It's a relative process. It's on a relative basis. Where is the best areas of the market now? And where are the worst areas of the market now? And obviously we want to be heavily tilted towards the best areas of the market and avoid the worst areas of the market. And it just so happens that 2024 have leaned heavily towards the Silicon Valley and stocks like Nvidia and Palantir, I want to say, is Denver, which we got to get to Denver. That's another new market that we entered right this year, and we've got a lot of big following there in that Denver area, so we're looking forward to that trip too. But anyways, the Silicon Valley, you'll find a lot of the stocks that we've owned and done well with here in our portfolios are headquartered there, so that's going to be fun. All right, well, we've got a new day in the market. You know, the weather today here, it's kind of dark and gloomy. And you know what it reminds me of, Barry? My least favorite time of year as I was growing up was back-to-school season.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up in San Diego and hanging out at the beach with my friends and having the days off to learn and invent things, you know, that was me. Garden, etc., fish, go tuna fishing offshore in San Diego and yellowtail fishing. And my mom would say, Billy, it's time to go get some back-to-school clothes. And we'd usually go to JCPenney's. I had four grandchildren over. They come over most Sundays for dinner at our house. And they got that gloomy look on their face, Barry.
Right.
Probably like
yeah.
Your kids. They're going back yep. Wednesday.
Yeah, my youngest goes for sixth grade orientation, so he gets to go an extra half day. So he's there today. He had that gloom last night, and then yeah, they go back full go middle of the week this week.
Yeah.
So
the littlest guy, he's pre-K. He's all excited. He gets to do what his older siblings get to do, go to school. He's going to pre-K. Then the next little guy up, my little Jordan, he's a character. He's going to get to ride the bus this year to first grade, so he's all excited about that bus ride. And then I've got a fourth grader and a sixth grader. You know, sixth grade here is middle school. We didn't hit middle school. No, she's fifth grade. We didn't hit middle school till seventh grade out in California. But the two girls go to a private school, a religious private school. And so I guess they do things a little bit differently. But I just hated back to school. But I am excited. Earnings season is now coming to an end, and I'm going to have a report for you on the status. We're about 90% in the books right now in earnings season. And how can we not mention the S&P 500 hitting an all-time high last week, in fact, on Friday, and the NASDAQ hitting an all-time high. And, you know, the earnings have been going up since 2009, okay? That's the bottom line. Other than the COVID year of 2020, earnings have been going up. And there's no better reason or explanation for the market going up during that period of time than earnings growth, because earnings growth drives growth in the indexes and in the individual stocks. And if you think about it, Barry, how many presidential terms have we been through since 2009? What, Obama twice, Trump once, Biden once, and Trump again, and earnings.
Yeah, and the back end of Bush, too, almost, in terms of the...
In terms
of the financial crisis itself. So.
Yeah, and it just leads me to the conclusion that the corporate CEOs, the good ones, they're flexible, and they can adapt to whatever environment is thrown at them. And in spite of who's in office, whether you like them or not, the corporation seems to be able to take the hand that they're dealt and make the most of it. The good ones, okay? Now, the good ones are far and few between. You know, I usually, as on a relative basis, as I look at the market every day, you're looking at about 10% of the market that really is flourishing and good corporate management and crackerjack CEOs that are driving growth and innovation. And about 85%, 80% is just mediocre, really, really mediocre. No growth, no imagination, no innovation. And you know what? I'm not going to invest in companies like that. I'm sorry. If you're past your prime and not coming up with new products and reinventing and figuring out ways to grow, then I want my money to grow, and I'm going to invest in companies that is their focus and their main you know, their main job is growing those earnings and growing the company and increasing shareholder wealth. I'm going to give you a couple examples of companies today that have reported that have been dismal investments over the years for investors, and then I've also got a couple that have been pretty good. Okay, well, you know what? Tomorrow is the U.S.-China tariff deadline. So that's creating a little bit of anxiety today. And there is talk of NVIDIA and AMD having to pay the U.S. government
15%.
A 15% excise tax, I don't know what you would call it, on all sales they do with China.
And was it on revenue? Or see, I heard people talking about
revenue.
It as revenue or profit.
Revenue.
I wasn't sure.
Revenue, top line. So I would think they would just increase the price that they charge China. And China's complaining and whining and hollering, saying that we're stealing their information through their H200 chips at NVIDIA. I don't think so, but, you know, they're trying to keep the price down. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we've got the date identified for our San Jose Bay Area trip. We just don't have the exact location, but we should have that here in a day or two. So we're looking forward to the middle of September there, September 15th. Let's see, what did I write down here? September 15th, Tuesday and Wednesday, September 15th and 16th. Now I put 5th in the newsletter. That's a misprint. 15th and 16th. I'll teach a workshop there on Tuesday the 15th. And then, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday, we meet with folks all day long, which we did in Detroit, in the Bloomfield Hills area. So if you want to reserve a spot, we just don't have the venue yet. You might want to wait till you hear the venue, but it's going to be there right by that where the 49ers play, Barry.
Is that Levi Stadium, right?
Yes, Levi Stadium. So anyways, which is a soggy stock, by the way. You would think it would be Palantir Stadium or NVIDIA Stadium. Of course, Palantir's Denver. You'd think it'd be NVIDIA Stadium. Or, you know, a Tesla Stadium or something a little more exciting. But that's the way it is. Okay, so now one more little piece of color on China. Let's just look at the China market because this is a big day for them. I think it'll all get ironed out by the end of the day. But tomorrow is a hard deadline. They're either going to extend that deadline or he's going to slap them with a bigger tariff. Right now, China market FXI is down 0.6%. And there's still the confusion over the NVIDIA and AMD, like an extra tax that they would have to pay on sales they do with China. NVIDIA is up 11 cents today, and it's getting a target price upgrade today. And AMD, both of these stocks were down earlier. AMD is actually surging right now. It's up 1.8%. So I'm guessing that they're getting closer to a deal. And Trump also bugging them and putting pressure on them to buy more soybeans from us. Help those farmers out and get a better trade deal with us. Maybe some lower tariffs if they buy more soybeans to help our farmers out. This is a big deal that, you know, occurred over the weekend. I think it occurred late Friday with Trump announcing a meeting with Putin in Alaska. And, you know, Europe is pressuring him to include Zelensky. Well, look, you guys include you've had all these years, Europe, to sit down with Putin and talk, and, you know, you never got it done.
Well, they figured out a way to buy gas from them. They sat down for down for something that was in their benefit at the time. But they didn't address some other concerns
that they probably should have. Have to watch world events because it can greatly impact your portfolio. Things like gold, things like tariffs. India, he's slapped a big tariff on them for doing business with India. Now you got a big issue in India, don't you? India is calling for boycotts of all U.S. brands, so that thing has escalated. So does that impact you as an investor? Well, guess what the most populated country in the world is, the biggest market in the world. Now, China has a much higher, per person
density, yeah.
How much? Well, how much each one spends? No, how
right.
much each
oh,
one
yeah, per capita income? Yes. Yep.
Okay, India's a lot lower than China, but still, by numbers, India's the biggest market. And you've got India calling for a boycott on McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Amazon, Apple, blah blah blah. So that's why we have to keep up on these things. Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Starbucks. Oh, yeah, they all sell to India. And they will be impacted if indeed there's a massive backlash against the U.S. for the tariffs we've imposed on them. Now, why have we imposed tariffs on India? Because they're buying Russian oil. And what is Russia doing with the money they receive for that oil? They're weaponizing and they're fighting and they're killing people in Ukraine. So you have to kind of cut off the source of the funds, right, that's funding all of this. And Modi has dug in his feet. He's the leader of India saying, no, we're going to do what's in our best interest. And he said, okay, fine. Then we're going to hit you with a big tariff on all your goods. So that's where that stands. Now, good news on the economy. We continue to get good news. We really don't know where the jobs market is. Will the real jobs statistics please stand up, Barry? And I know he's interviewing right now for a person. There's a guy who's been a critic of the labor board for a long time about the statistics they report. He's number one interviewed today to get the job. How can you revise down those jobs numbers by that? I can see 5,000 revision, but 195,000? How can you be that wrong the first time? That makes no sense to me.
Right.
But having said that, retail sales perk up in July amid large sales events. Of course, you had Amazon Prime. The best areas, general merchandise stores were up 2% month over month and 6.9% year over year. That's pretty good. That's your Walmarts and your Targets. Clothing and accessories up 6.7% year over year. That's good, too. That's much better than our GDP. Health and personal care stores at your CVS and Walgreens up 4.4. Electronics and appliances only up 2.1. Furniture up only 1.5. That has a lot to do with high interest rates. Are you listening, Jerome Powell? We need to free up that real estate sector with some lower interest rates so people can move and remodel and borrow money to add on to their homes, to buy new homes, to move up, to buy first homes, etc. And building and garden supply stores were up 4.1% year over year. That's all pretty good on those retail sales numbers. Very good. That shows that the consumer who drives our economy, you know, each country is different as to what drives their economy. What drives the Russian economy? Oil and weapons. What drives the Chinese economy? Manufacturing. What drives the U.S. economy? Consumption.
Consumer. I was about to say spending.
We are really spending. Good at that. I mean, we
the best of them.
We specialize in consumption, which not bad. That means our standard of living is very good here. Our system seems to work pretty good. I mean, there's arguments. Well, it doesn't work for everybody. It's tilted, blah, blah, blah. But overall, the economy seems to be just fine. The consumer seems to be just fine. Okay, when we come back, Kathy Wood makes a big purchase. I think I'll sell. I usually do the opposite of what she's doing. And then we're going to talk about some individual companies today, including some really good young ones, up-and-comers. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And it continues to be very much a news-driven market, minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour. There's tariff news, peace talks in Alaska, you know, all kinds of different things. Boycotts by India, China trade deadline. And you can't really control that. It's all you can do is look at your individual holdings every day and make sure they're all good, everything's hunky-dory. And if it's not, well, you know, changes got to be made from time to time. Valuations are a critical part of the market right now. Overall, the market's trading over 22 times forward earnings. That's the S&P 500. That makes the market vulnerable to sell-offs and profit-taking. But at the same time, we had new highs on the market on Friday, and we're getting new highs again today on the market. So the market, I mean, the bottom line is it's shrugging off the valuation, and people still want in. And that part of the market is called momentum and relative strength and a demand. There's still demand for shares, and we just don't know how much higher the demand and the momentum will carry it. I mean, you don't just automatically start trimming just because the market's expensive. I've seen the market go way beyond expensive, but you have to be careful. You have to tiptoe a little bit here. You have to watch the rearview mirror, and you have to, you know, be careful not to give up big profits that you've made in certain stocks. My best advice is I take it one stock at a time. Every single day I look at all my patients, which I consider to be my holdings. They're my holdings. And I look and check the health of each one of those holdings in the various portfolios that I manage on a daily basis. Okay, all right, our next subject matter here today, Walmart holds on to its stake in Symbotic, and I want to talk just a little bit about this little small stock. Symbotic, S-Y-M, we bought, and it went up so fast, I thought, you know, when you're given a gift like that, to go up, like, I don't know, we didn't hold it for very long, but It was looking really good, and it was showing up in all of our relative strength screens and in our valuation screens, to be honest, and in our growth screens. And when I describe what they do, you'll see why they're in kind of a sweet spot in the economy right now. Symbotic is actually headquartered in Wilmington, Massachusetts. They provide robotic systems and warehouse management systems, which enable supply chains to be faster, okay? So you're thinking of these Amazon warehouses, Walmart warehouses. Obviously, Walmart uses them because Walmart has a big investment in them. They hold 15 million shares of Symbotic. S-Y-M is the symbol. It's a $31 billion market cap company, and we actually bought it in our emerging growth portfolio, which is the category it fits in. This is not a big blue chip paying a dividend. This is not a Palantir that's a multi-hundred $1 trillion, closing in on a $1 trillion stock. This is a $31 billion. I call it a small cap. And we bought SYM, S-Y-M, on June the 26th, and it went up 38%, and I decided to sell it on July the 29th. We held it for four weeks and 3 days. But like I say, when something goes up that fast, sometimes I say, thank you, Lord, and I take the profit and take the money off the table. That doesn't happen very often. Yes, it's going to be a short-term gain unless you're in an IRA or whatnot. But would you rather have no gain and not pay the tax, the capital gains tax, or have a nice gain and have to pay the tax? That's the way it is. Now, Symbotic has pulled back to where we sold it. It started to break out again. But I'm considering getting back in the stock just because I like the spot they're in. And I did not know that Walmart was such a big investor. So anyways, that's what I bring up for today's show, SYM, that Walmart continues to have a big position. Peter Thiel is getting ready to bring his latest IPO. It's going to be called Bullish, BLSH. I guess that's better than a stock going public called Bearish Berry. You know, that probably wouldn't go over real well. Do I still have Barry there?
Not great for the marketing side.
No.
Going at bearish.
So, you know, it's a crypto exchange. I'm not really wild about these crypto exchange stocks myself, but everybody's cashing in. They're getting it while the going is good. And, you know, we've seen several. The number one is Coin, C-O-I-N, crypto exchange. Of course, you got a guy in prison who had the biggest crypto exchange at one time, right? Our friend there back in the Bay Area, he's in a prison there somewhere. I don't know where he's at these days. But
old Bankman-Fried?
Yes, our friend Bankman-Fried. And Peter Thiel's a pretty sharp cat, a pretty smart guy, and that's his latest endeavor. That will be a hot IPO here. Very soon. NVIDIA sees a price target raise at Wells Fargo ahead of earnings. Okay, and that's not this week. NVIDIA will report. They report way late in the season. They're like one of the last stocks to report. They don't report till August 27th. And by the way, NVIDIA is hitting a new all-time high today. How many times have we written an article for Seeking Alpha calling it the best stock in the market now? The best stock. And now it's $4.47 trillion in market cap. It blew by Microsoft on the backstretch and has opened up about a 20-length lead as they head into the far turn. NVIDIA is just roaring. And it's now hitting a new all-time high at 183.43. It's our largest holding by far. It's become that way, you know, because of the growth in the stock. $4.47 trillion today. Palantir's record run test investor faith. Guess what's the most expensive stock in the S&P 500? It's Palantir, and I've mentioned it many times in my newsletter about the P.E. ratio and the forward P.E. ratio. It's also the number one performing stock in the S&P 500 this year, and I'm the guy that was interviewed by the NASDAQ people back in January of this year when we were there for the NASDAQ closing bell ceremony. Bill, what's your number one pick for 2025? I said Palantir. And it's the number one stock in the S&P by far. I read, too, that NVIDIA has become 8% of the S&P 500. So you figure, you know, if it was equally weighted, the index, each stock would be, what, 0.2% of the S&P 500, right? I mean, yeah, 0.2%. Equally weighted. No, NVIDIA's 8%. It's 40 times what an average weight would be in the S&P. No stock has ever been that dominant in the S&P 500. So when you buy the S&P 500, okay, so think about it. In our portfolio, it might be a 7 or 8% weighting, Barry. when you buy the S&P 500 index, you're getting an 8% weighting in NVIDIA. And I just wonder, I mean, you'd have to do the math. If you took NVIDIA out of the S&P 500 this year, and maybe Palantir, you probably wouldn't have any gains at all.
Yes. Wouldn't be great, yeah, for sure.
You know how I can tell the people that don't have any exposure to those stocks? They're whining about the performance of the rest of the market. They're saying, well, the rest of the market is just toppy this year. It's not going anywhere. We're really worried. And it's because they don't have any exposure to some of these leading stocks. Instead, they're in Disney and they're in, they're in Johnson and Johnson and Procter and Gamble and stocks that have been left in the dust of these other stocks. And they're whining about the breadth of the market when the breadth has actually been pretty good in the market. You know, I've had as many as 1,400, 1,500 stocks in my database of 5,200 at any given point in time that were B-plus ranked or better. So I think the breadth has been very good, but still you have to be in the right ones. But anyways, NVIDIA is up 150% since beginning of this year. And since it's 2021 debut, it's up 2,500%. And I want to say Palantir is our number two holding in our at Gunderson Capital Management. Okay, you'll never guess. There's two stocks that are back after going bankrupt. And they're tweaking things just a little bit, trying to get their mojo back. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A few stocks that, interesting story. Bed Bath & Beyond is going to add Bed Bath Beyond Home. They think that'll do it, Barry, change their fortunes around. I don't know about that.
I mean, they already had the home stuff in the stores. The problem was no one was going to the store.
20% off coupons are back. It's the latest chapter in the saga of the storied company, which is now, I mean, it's publicly traded again. BY, oh, what's the symbol? TBHC, maybe? Let's see. TBHC. Brand House Collective. I'm not sure what their symbol is anymore. I think it's BYON. That's what I think. BYON. But I have no interest, obviously. There it is. Beyond.com, a $462 million market cap company out of Murray, Utah. That's where it's headquartered now. Okay, the other one that I find interesting. Well, the stock of the day is International Money Express. Kind of interesting there. IMXI, it is up 61% today. It must be getting bought out. There's something there, or they've reported the earnings or something like that. Here's one that'll blow you away. You remember in 2021, that was the year that all of the COVID money was sloshing around, and that was one of the biggest excesses I've seen in the market was 2021. And that probably was one of the reasons the Fed went on the war path with those 475 basis points. Do you know in 2021, AMC, which is a terrible, terrible stock, just an awful stock, Over the last 10 years, you've lost 31% per year as people quit going to the movie theater and stay at home, sit on the couch and stream and eat popcorn-flavored Jelly Bellies. That's just the way it is. Over the last 3 years, this stock's gone down 71% per year, AMC Entertainment. But it was a meme stock in 2021. Guess how much it was up in 2021? I think it was probably second only to GameStop as the Reddit crowd joined in. Barry, in 2021, this stock was up 1,183%.
Wow.
it's obviously given up all of those gains. And, you know, they just kept printing stock certificates during that whole period of time, floating more
shares.
Yeah,
they kept diluting, remember?
Yeah.
Shares at a time, essentially.
So, I mean, it's a dog of a stock, AMC. Let's see how it's doing today. They reported earnings or lack thereof. They've been losing money. Actually, they made a little bit of money here. They've had some hit movies this year, and the stock is up 6.5%. But that just blows me away. It got up to $393 a share. That shows you the magnitude of that COVID money that was going into Bitcoin, was going into GameStop, going into Teladoc, and stocks like that, and then it all came crashing down. It was probably the third biggest bubble, maybe the second biggest bubble I've seen in the market since I've been. And obviously, the biggest bubble I witnessed was in the year 2000 in the NASDAQ in March of 2000, when the NASDAQ hit 5,300 on very little in the way of earnings, but the name .com being added to a lot of stocks. That's why they call it the dot-com bubble. AMC is now a $3 stock after being $393 per share. And the other one in the news today, and I'm kind of surprised at how good, actually, Micron, the numbers that they've put up over the years. But it's choppy because Micron...
It's a volatile one.
It sells
we own
a commodity.
We own the bond, but yeah, the stock, you know, stock wise, you know, it's we've owned it a few times, but it's always, it's certainly a bit choppy.
But if you're willing to ride through it, you've been rewarded. I mean, it's a 10-year, it's averaged just about the same as the S&P 500 with a heck of a lot more volatility than the S&P 500. And it's had a good run here because of AI. Over the last 12 months, it's up 38%, while the market's up 23%. Micron, after their earnings report today, is up 3.5%. It's a $137 billion company, one of the leaders in flash memory. And their sales were up 37% year over year, and their earnings were up 208%, yet it trades at a low multiple. It's 18. That would qualify for our relative value portfolio. We don't own it, but it would definitely be under consideration for that. It trades at a lot cheaper multiple than Palantir. Palantir's like 230. Micron's only 18. Why? Because it's a commodity-like stock. It's like a home builder or a company that is based on a oil. The oil stocks are commodity-like stocks. But Micron is having a good day today here. Okay, well, we're out of time. You've got those dates for the San Jose Bay Area trip, September 15th and 16th, Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll add Thursday. Like we had to add Thursday in Bloomfield Hills because the demand was so great to meet with us. That's the funnest part of it all, is meeting with the folks and talking about their experiences.
Everybody's got their own story, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Unfortunately, we've seen some people that I would say have been abused by Wall Street, and haven't done well for them at all, like 1% returns and a lot of those bond funds, and they're heavily weighted in bond funds. We saw a lot of annuities that have performed very poorly over the years. We're just out to try to help you grow your funds. You work so hard and put that money away, and you gotta try to look for growth in the years that you're accumulating. Now, if you'd like to make an appointment with us, have us review, what you're invested in now and what your hopes are for the future, you can set up a telephonic appointment with us, a Zoom appointment, 855-611-BEST. We have clients in almost every state in America, I think, by now. And if you'd like to just sample and see how our portfolios, are doing and how they've done over time and our style of investing, that's all in the newsletter. You can get 4 free weeks of, you know, the live trades that I send out, the changes we're making in the newsletter, just like Jim Cramer does with his model portfolio, which isn't very good in my opinion. But to get 4 free weeks, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or call us at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.